Welcome to an all-new Nevada Newsmakers. I'm Paul Enos. Next, we're going to be talking to Deanna Spicula, the Washoe County Voter Registrar, about last week's primary election, voter statistics, and what happened with the voting machines. Plus, our Power Pundit panel. That's next on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
40 years ago, Hotel California and the theme from Rocky were number one on the pop charts, and D&D Roofing and Sheet Metal started on the road to becoming Nevada's leading roofing company.
I couldn't be more proud of what we've achieved.
And over these 40 years, we've become an employee-owned company. So when you're talking to any employee, you're talking to an owner.
And here's to the next 40 years.
Happy 40th birthday, D&D Roofing and Sheet Metal.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
ProGroup Management specializes in providing industries with the necessary components to satisfy and exceed workers' comp requirements. Every business has unique needs and specific regulations. ProGroup Management stays ahead of the curve, providing up-to-date services to keep your industry in top form. Discover how we simplify your tasks, improve efficiency, and reduce expense to keep you moving in a positive direction. ProGroup Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Truck drivers are some of the hardest working people you'll meet, delivering over 70% of America's freight and 92% of Nevada's. When there's a natural disaster, they're delivering critical supplies to help those communities recover and rebuild. Every sector of the economy and our nation's military rely on truck drivers. So let's take a moment to say thank you. On the open road or city streets, our truck drivers are rolling to make our economy and our nation stronger. Trucking moves America forward.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
Welcome back to an all-new Nevada Newsmakers. Today, we are going to be talking to our voter registrar here in Washoe County, Deanna Spicula. Deanna, welcome to the show.
All right, thank you for having me on.
Well, hey, great to have you on. Now, we are going to talk a little bit about some of the issues we had with voting machines last week, but we'll probably save that to a little bit later. So let's just talk about your job and what you do and kind of some general voter registration stats here in Washoe County.
Sure. So in our office, we mainly do voter registration and we administer elections for Washoe County. So voter registration right now, we're at about 257,000 registered voters. And that's down a little bit from 2016, which was the presidential general election. But between now and our upcoming November general election, we'll see those numbers begin to increase again.
That's normal, right?
It's
very
normal.
As many people in a midterm that register or show up to vote as
Not as much interest
as we do in the presidential.
Yes.
Now, do we see any difference with parties? You know, in terms of. Have we seen, you know, an increase in Republican, Democrat, nonpartisan? Are you noticing any trends?
You know, what we see more now is people registering with a minor party or a nonpartisan. The Republicans, I think, have about 96,000 registered voters. The Democratic Party, about 90,000. So they're actually not that far off. But what makes up the rest of our voter registration are the minor party and the nonpartisans, and they're around 70,000. So, again, the trends are kind of, it depends on the election, what seats are up, and what's the hot topic of the year. So right now in a midterm, we're just kind of seeing an even, steady increase in all three categories. And I think we'll see that continue through the general election.
So let's talk about some of the things that we're going to be talking about in the election dealing with voter registration. Mm-hmm. And I call it motor voter, but it's really not motor voter in the sense that, you know, we think it is where, hey, you can go to the DMV and register to vote.
Yes.
You know, there's actually a ballot initiative that's going to be on the November 2018 ballot where you're automatically registered when you go to the Department of Motor Vehicles.
You will be unless you opt out of registering. So basically right now what they do is they ask you when you're at the DMV, do you want to register to vote or update your information? So the way that the IP1, I believe it is, will change would be that it would be, do you not want to register to vote? So you'd have to opt out instead of opting in. Again, how much that will affect our registration numbers, it's hard to predict. I'm not sure we'll see a tremendous increase, but we probably will see an increase, which is like what they've seen in Oregon.
So, you know, one of the questions I know a lot of people have on that, you know, in Nevada, we do let non-citizens get driver's licenses. Mm-hmm. Does that mean that they can register to vote when they're at the
DMV? They're still
not
eligible, no.
So if you're getting one of those cards, the DMV is not going to ask you, and they're not going to register you to vote if that passes.
How they process at the DMV, I'm not sure their policies, so I'd actually have to go to them and ask them how they would actually proceed with that. But for us, I mean, again,
is that something you'd verify as the voter registrar when you get that registration that somebody actually is a citizen, or is there any way to verify?
There's no way to verify that. There's no one central database that has citizenship information, so we don't have like a federal repository that we can tap into to vet those that information. Again, mostly, I mean, it is a crime, it's a felony, so I'm sure most people, especially if they're trying to get citizenship, are not going to want to interfere with their getting that their naturalization. So my guess is they're probably not going to try to register to vote. They're pretty savvy out there, and I would think that they'd want to avoid any legal action. So
yeah, well, we'd hope so.
Yes, I would hope so.
So let's talk about where we're seeing the growth trends. Do you see, you know, you look at places around Washoe County where we see a tremendous amount of growth? South Reno, Spanish Springs,
yeah.
You know, we mentioned off the air.
I'm talking about that. Yeah, those are big growth areas. We have a census coming up in 2020, so we'll probably see some redistricting, some new lines drawn. Reno's going to have a sixth ward added and take away that at-large seat. So, again, those lines are going to change a little bit. But definitely the growth in those few areas, we're going to see some definite changes, Spanish Springs, South Reno, and some other areas that are kind of booming, Cold Springs out in that northern area, too. So, yeah,
so how do you project for that, you know, in terms of holding elections? I know I always go and vote at Rayleigh's. I mean, that's, you know, for me, that's easy. I'm an early voter. You know, I go when I can. If there's a line, I love to shop the, you know, the whiskey section there.
So, yeah, depends on where they're set up. Yeah.
So do you try to manage where you're going to set up the polling places to support those?
Yeah, we do, because in our precincts, basically, we have we know how many registered voters are in each precinct, and so then we know how many precincts we're going to assign to each polling location. Of course, we don't, you know, places like high schools, they can accommodate more machines and more voters. Smaller places like small elementary schools, we try to not overwhelm them with too many people. We base that off of that number of voters per precinct as we distribute those polling, those voters to those polling locations. Now, with our new poll books, we can actually process voters at any location, but we still do assign them.
See, that was a rare one for me. That's something that
something
surprised
new.
Well, that did surprise me, because I just thought you have to show up at your polling location. Mm-hmm. This year, I have a couple of friends. They said, oh, we're going to go vote. They live on opposite sides of town. They went to the same place. And I said, How does that happen? So is that new this year?
Yes. It's kind of an extension of early voting. It's how we process voters for early voting. Now that we have the electronic poll books and that connectivity, we can actually verify people at any location. We have their registration information, and the poll workers can actually check them in, see their signature, and do all that at any location now. Again, we'll still continue to assign people, because, of course, that's how we determine how many machines and how many voters we think are going to show up at locations, is based off that precinct number. So, most people do want to vote typically close to home. But it's not a requirement anymore. You can actually go into any. So if you happen to be on the other side of town, you go, oh, my gosh, I forgot to vote. Hey, there's a high school right here. They have voting right now. I'm just going to pop in there and vote. You can do that now.
Okay, that makes it easier.
Yes. So yes, it does for everybody.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about another issue that the Supreme Court weighed in on, and that has to deal with how voters are purged. That's the term. I don't
care for that term, but cause it's not. I don't really feel like it's kind of. It's not a process that we engage in. But I understand what they're saying. Yeah.
So how do we get those inactive voters off the rolls? I mean, what is that process, and what is the requirement?
So we follow. There's the Help America Vote Act, and that actually a lot of that has been adopted into Nevada statute as well. And there's certain rules for how we can go about contacting our voters. And one of the programs that we use is a National Change of Address program, and it's through the post office. So when we do our sample ballot mailings, we bump up our database against the post office, and they say, okay, these are the people that have moved. They no longer live at the address that you have on file. So we go about mailing them a notice, And what we want from them is say, okay, here's a notice. Have you moved? And if you have moved, can you tell us what, you know, where your new address is so we can update your registration information? Unfortunately, if that mailing comes back to us undeliverable, we'll send a second mailing out again. Hopefully that'll get forwarded. But if it doesn't get forwarded, they'll come back to us. And that's when somebody becomes inactive in our system. Now, they have to stay inactive in our system for 2 federal elections before they can be canceled.
Okay.
So at that time is when that cleanup will happen, is when that voter's been inactive for 2 federal elections. If you're inactive, you can still go and vote. The only thing that's different is the poll worker will probably have you update your information with them at the polls, but you're still on the rolls and you're still eligible.
Okay.
It's only after those 2 federal elections would you potentially be canceled.
Be off the list. Mm-hmm. All right.
Yeah.
We're talking voter registration with our Washoe County voter registrar, and we are going to come back and talk about some issues with voting machines that occurred last week. That's next on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Tamarack Junction is South Reno's hotspot with over 450 of the latest slots and video games. Sully's Sports Bar, the Dining Car Restaurant, William Hill Sportsbook, and the Tamarack Steakhouse and Lounge. We're just north of the Summit Mall in South Virginia. Yeah.
How do you shed some light on a better economy? Start with growth inspired by Valley Electric Association. We're a member-owned power company that puts Nevada first, and we're doing big things. Like providing prosperity by securing renewable energy projects. For Nevada, that means more jobs and more opportunities, all for a strong statewide economy. In other words, together, we're doing powerful things. Visit us at vea.coop to learn more.
Hi, I'm Eric Robnett, owner of Home Energy Experts. Has this ever happened to you?
Honey, did you remember to turn down the thermostat?
Forgetting to set the temperature? Not fun. We can help. Our new smart thermostat keeps the temperature set for your comfort all by itself.
I'm feeling hot now.
To increase your comfort, go to homeenergyexperts.com for details. That's homeenergyexperts.com.
Hey, Romeo!
The Reno Rodeo. Come celebrate 99 years. It's a tradition. June 14th through the 23rd. Get your tickets today.
The Tamarack Junction Steakhouse is known for signature steaks, handcrafted cocktails, and world-class wines. Join us Thursdays and Friday nights from 4:30 to 6:30 in the Steakhouse Lounge for live music, gourmet plates, and well-priced wines just north of the Summit Mall on South Virginia.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
Welcome back to Nevada Newsmakers. We are here talking with our Washoe County voter registrar, Deanna Spicula. Deanna, thanks again for coming on here. You know, last week, Tuesday, election day, I was hearing from a lot of people that names of certain candidates were not showing up on the machine. You know, the lieutenant governor's race and a Supreme Court race in the Washoe County assessor's race. So what are some of the issues that caused their names to not be on the ballot?
So they were on the ballot. Basically, what you were seeing was a display.
Well, not on the voting machine.
Well, they were that was resolvable at the polling location. Again, the issue was the font size being too big, and so, of course, the longer races were... you know, when some of them were like 9 candidates long, the people at the bottom of that list would not be appearing unless you resize the screen. It was something that was...
So how would I know that? I mean, that's something that I wouldn't even think of, you know, necessarily think of, you know, doing. I mean, I heard a number of people, you know, they go, well, hey, the guy that I wanted to vote for, his name isn't
there. You go
here.
Right there is if somebody, you know, so you go there and you know what you're expecting to see. Most
maybe,
people do.
Maybe. You think so? I mean, I don't know that everybody, you know, necessarily knows, you know, all the folks that they're voting for, you know, especially in some of the damn ballot races.
Well,
even like lieutenant governor. I mean, I think if you ask people, hey, who's running for lieutenant governor, you know, you might, I don't know.
Well, again, we send our sample ballots out, and what we always encourage, of course, for anybody who's ever out the polls, if you have any kind of question whatsoever, you stop and you get a poll worker. That's what we have them there for. We train them. We give them tools to help. So, again, if anything, even if, you know, any kind of question, whatever
really
it might be.
There shouldn't be a reason, though. I mean, there shouldn't be a case where somebody's name is not showing up on the display when they're casting their ballot.
No, we don't want that to happen. Absolutely not. I mean, we're going to be vetting this and making sure, working with our vendor, going through all these issues. Again, brand new voting equipment, didn't see that behavior in testing. We didn't see that behavior in early voting. Again, chalked up to, you know, there's a different way that we kind of initialize the election during those times. So we don't want this. We absolutely do not want this. My office doesn't want it. I know the county doesn't want it. And our voters don't want issues.
Yeah.
We want to make sure everything's,
or the candidates,
you know,
if your name's...
Yeah, that too.
It might help if you're up at the top.
We want everything to be wonderful. That's what, you know, that's our goal, is to ensure that people can vote. And, of course, that the accuracy of their ballot and that the choices that they're making are the true and accurate choices that those voters want to cast.
So is that something they'll be able to do to, like, limit mm-hmm. the font size so you're not knocking somebody off?
Yeah, well, we're, like I said, we're working on resolving the initialization was kind of the thing that created a backlog. So, again, we're working through it. Shouldn't happen again. We're going to, you know, go ahead and vet all the instances.
Do you think it had an impact on any of the...
I don't. There's no indications at all. Looking at the votes cast and our reconciliation on voters who checked in and the ballots cast, you know, we don't have any unexplained errors. We don't have anything that looks like, wow, that, you know, that one person at the bottom of the list got, you know, no votes. We don't have a situation like that. Again, we had in my office, I believe there were 6 total complaints that actually people called our office. I followed up personally on 4 of them. 2 of them I'm still waiting for somebody to get back to me. Of course, until I hear from them, I don't know what the situation was that they encountered. So hopefully they'll get back to me and let me know. That's how we improve processes. That's how we make fixes, and that's how we ensure things are proper out there, is when people they give us feedback. That's what we're here for. And that's what we want to do, and we want to make sure that we're getting that feedback. We're asking our poll workers as well.
And you're
going to
be ready for the general election, so this doesn't happen again in November, right?
Yes.
All right.
And yeah, again, there's none of us want it. We don't want it. Our voters don't want it. The vendor doesn't want it. I mean, we all want to make this right. So, of course, we're going to work and do everything we can to make sure that we have a much better election for November.
Hey, Deanna, thank you very much for coming in. And thank you. We're going to be back on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Dimitri Prine here for Design Outdoor. Come visit Design Outdoor's store and backyard to see our wide selection of fire pits, barbecues, and pizza ovens, natural stone water features and fountains, and frostproof pottery. Our store and backyard are located at 11600 South Virginia, just north of DeMonte Ranch Parkway. Visit designoutdoor.com or call us at 851-9499.
Hey guys, are you watching the game at a friend's or the bar again because you can't watch at home with your wife? Or worse, because she kicked you out and kept your couch, your flat screen, and your kids? What's the one thing a man needs when he loses a good woman? A good lawyer. And when he loses a bad woman, he needs a great lawyer. What makes a good woman a bad woman? You tell me. You're the one that can't watch the game in your own home. I'm men's rights attorney Marilyn York, and I represent men in divorce, custody, and family law matters.
Hi, I'm Dave Newman. Remember me? I used to be the house detective, and now I'm a realtor, full-time at RE/MAX Realty Affiliates. And a lot of people ask me, how's the market? You know what? It's fantastic. If you're even kicking around the idea of buying or selling, give me a call. Let's talk about it. Call me at RE/MAX Realty Affiliates and just ask for the guy who used to be the house detective, Dave Newman.
Everyone is talking about opioids, but they're not the only drugs that can be harmful if taken in large quantities or not as prescribed. You also need to be aware of side effects from anxiety drugs, muscle relaxants, sleep aids, and stimulants. Mixing prescription drugs with other drugs or alcohol can be dangerous. If you take an Ambien with a glass of wine, it may be enough to stop you from breathing. Prescribed drugs can be just as dangerous as illegal drugs. Take medications only as directed.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
Welcome back to our Power Pundit panel. We have Dr. Eric Herzig, political science professor at the University of Nevada. We have Marcia Birkbigler, Washoe County Commissioner, and Chris Wicker, spokesman for the Washoe County Democratic Party. All right, Eric. Eric, just so people know, Eric was my political science professor, you know, not quite 100 years ago, but maybe a quarter of a century ago. And, you know, I knew you were a Republican. Are you uncomfortable being a Republican in the Trump era?
Well, I've been uncomfortable being a Republican for about the last 8 years, and I get asked all the time, why are you still a Republican? And there are multiple reasons why. But when I watch the Republicans now do certain things, that we just passed a tax cut. Okay, fine, that's Republican. But then you passed a spending bill completely divorced from the tax package, and it's going to produce a $1.4 trillion deficit during a time of expansion. And when I raised that, Republican Trump supporters said, well, the tax cut is good, and Obama had $1 trillion deficits, yeah, in the midst of a recession. It's like, there's no logic anymore. It's like, if the Democrats did it, and we liked it, then we adopt it, or, hey, Trump's great, and it's all Obama's fault. I mean, it's like, come on, let's get some semblance of consistency, and then I get back, oh, you're not a real Republican.
Marcia, how do you feel?
I personally like a lot of his policies. I wish he'd stay off of Twitter, as I've indicated before. I would like him to be a little more presidential, but the fact of the matter is he's done some things that are unique. I mean, North Korea is clearly an issue that no other president could manage. He gets bashed in the press because no matter what he does, regardless of which direction it goes. And the truth is, you know, he's really not a political person. He's not a politician. He's a negotiator, and he's effective and very good at it. So let's see where it goes. I was asked if I would prefer a president that I could respect or a president who gets the stock market to go higher, and I said, duh. I would rather see the stock market climb. I don't care whether I respect the office.
Chris, I guess that's how you felt under Bill Clinton's reign, right?
Everybody's aware of some of the issues of Bill Clinton's reign, but we're talking about Trump now, and we have to talk about Trump because he's the president. And
it's got to make it hard for you to decide what tweet you guys are going to go after every day.
No, because that's the problem is every day Trump does something outrageous, something stupid, something crazy, and you're just simply impossible to keep up with it, and it's like a dull roar that you hear. A couple of good examples, we talked about the tax cut. His signature piece of legislation, and it's the worst financial decision made in recent country's history because just as Democrats predicted, all that savings are going to stock buybacks, and they're not going to workers.
Not 100%,
but the vast majority is.
Here in the state of Nevada, I've got a member who has people in Washoe County. He's got people in Lander County and Battle Mountain. He gave his mechanics a 20% raise, his drivers a 13% raise, as part of the Trump tax.
That's wonderful, but you have to look at the overall statistics.
Yeah. But there's reason why we don't have any unemployment. Anything less than 4% is
essentially no unemployment.
How did that happen? How did we go from double digits unemployment
if we didn't have a good president
who is doing
like
good policies?
Trump should get credit for some of the economics. Absolutely. But you're starting from, we had double-digit unemployment.
I know we had...
We had double-digit unemployment in 2016, the year before Trump becomes president.
No, it was down to 9%.
No.
Yes.
It was at 5% nationally.
No.
Yes.
Well, I think those numbers are a little...
Those numbers are a little different, though, right? Trump set these records.
So,
during the Obama administration... Essentially, the top of the market was somewhere, say, around 11.
That 5% number that you're talking about, though, was a percentage of that didn't include all the people who were lost all their jobs because they were high-paying people and they were unemployed or
gig economy
or underemployed.
The economy.
If you really looked at all of the numbers, the number was at 9.8% or 9.7%. That's a fair assessment of what happened.
You look at the national statistics and you see that the vast majority of the tax cut money is going to stock buybacks, it's going to dividends, or being offshored. It's not going to the workers, which is the whole purpose that was proclaimed in passing the tax cut. You just have to look at the statistics, not anecdotal incidents. You have the good guy that you talked about, Paul.
Well,
that's wonderful.
There's other good guys. He's not the only one.
No, he's not the only one.
I'm the CEO of the Nevada Trucking Association, so I mean those are the folks that I talk to and deal with every day, and I know people are upgrading their fleets, they're buying new trucks, they're doing things now that
they're
they
hiring
haven't,
new employees.
Well, they haven't been able to
even
do
municipalities
before.
They've got
to buy those
Volvos
that. Before there's a tariff.
Hey, they buy them all. Volvos, Max, Peterbilts, Internationals, Freightliners. Yeah, yeah, now, all the great
other,
rigs.
The other thing that Marcia mentioned was the Korean deal. And so let's compare. Under the Obama administration, you had the Iran deal negotiated by seven countries, meticulously negotiated
which
by
hasn't
experts.
Worked.
It did. It was working.
Really?
And yeah. And we have this Korea deal. Trump shows up at a summit in Singapore for a few hours. They sign a meaningless half-page document.
How do you
and
know
he
it's
proclaims success.
Well,
you have Kim Jong-un
work.
Saying, oh, yes, we'll denuclearize. What the hell does that mean?
Well, look at Iran. They didn't denuclearize.
That,
you know,
they lived up to the deal. Even the Trump administration
the
admitted they
bad.
Lived up to the deal.
But the deal was
so
bad.
You say, but it kept them from developing nuclear weapons. And so the deal is good.
I don't know that Netanyahu would agree with you on that.
Yeah,
well, Netanyahu
I know
is a nut.
No, he's not.
Oh, he's the worst thing. He's the worst thing for Israel in their recorded history.
I don't know if he's the worst
thing
for Israel.
I think Hitler probably was, you know.
Okay, I'll give you that.
But he certainly has. He is a destabilizing force.
He has a job to do and in a very tough region. And he's doing an as effective job as he can.
And also predicted that when we get rid of Saddam, it's going to make the whole Middle East better.
All right.
Good job.
Netanyahu has not made Israel safer.
Okay. Hey, we've gone a lot of places in this interview. But hey, thank you guys. Appreciate you being on. We're going to be right back on Nevada Newsmakers.
A bird's eye captures its surroundings at different heights. At Brian Culpa Photography, we can make your imagination soar over buildings, parks, cityscapes, and beyond. Brian's images tell the story and get the job done. If you need a new perspective to tell your story, contact Brian today. Brian Culpa Photography. Experience the bird's eye view at brianculpaphotography.com.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
Call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to marilynminer.com.
St. Ives Florist, for every holiday and every special occasion, for romance. Custom home design. We have the largest selection of fresh flowers in northern Nevada. And we also offer a large selection of unique gift items. Come see me, Lori Ann, at St. Ives Florist, 700 South Wells Avenue, or call me at 333-9190.
Next week on All New Nevada Newsmakers, we're going to be talking to Washoe County District Attorney Chris Hicks and Aaron West of the Builders Alliance. Thanks for watching and listening.